Ever, you know, heard a song that just kind of sticks in your mind and you have a hard time, you know, getting it out of your mind? There are songs like that. I remember as a child, this was a while back, but I remember as a child, we'd be traveling as a family. As you know, we've traveled a lot around and moved around a lot, and we lived in everything from houses to apartments to oftentimes trailers, from 6 to 3 foot trailers down to 14 foot trailers. And my dad would often pull the trailer and the rest of the family would follow behind in the car. On occasion, however, dad would allow myself or one of the boys to ride along with him. And it was always kind of a treat to be able to do that. I'm sure we were kind of a nuisance to him, to at least to some degree. But he would listen to a radio channel, and most of the time it was some kind of country music channel. And there'd be a song that would come on, and he would sing that song. And my dad had an interesting voice. He had one of these kind of like kind of voices and so forth. But there was one song that became an endearing song. It's one that that was called to memory from this psalm here, and you'll see it in just a few moments here. It was written by a fellow by the name of Bob Ferguson back in 1958, which means I was 4 years old. And then in 1960, Ferlin Husky, he recorded the song. The song was a huge hit. I mean, it was such a blowout hit that it was at number one for over 9 weeks. And then it went 10 weeks, and then it went number nine on the charts for another 12 months. That's crazy that a song would stay there for that long. It was sung by all the major artists of that day. It became a hit on the pop charts themselves. The Everly Brothers, I think back in that day, were big stars and so forth, and they recorded the song. Almost every known artist that was anybody has recorded this song. It's an incredible little song. It's really a pretty simple song, but it's a song about a person that finds themselves in possibly the depths of despair and how they lift up their eyes to God. And the name of that song was called On the Wings of a Dove. Y'all know that song? On the wings of a snow white dove, he sends his pure sweet love like a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. Wings of a dove. Sing wings. But anyway, it's a great little song. And then it goes to the next stanza. When troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a dove. In other words, the song is really about the fact that God does not forget us when we find ourselves in the midst of a difficulty. Well, Psalm 55 is one such a psalm. It's a psalm that has an interesting title, a subtitle to it. It is Prayer of the Destruction of the Treacherous. That's the title for this thing. And the psalm seems to be that David is in the midst of a trial. He's in the midst of really feeling down and feeling as though everything is crushing down on him, that he's being overwhelmed with terror, with sorrow. And a lot of it comes from a person that had at one time been close to him. Someone that once loved him and he loved them, and it was someone that they could trust, he could have trusted. And then all of a sudden they turned their backs on him for some reason and began to attack him. Some say that it might have been King Saul. Others will say, well, maybe no, it was the son of David, Absalom, that this is talking about. If you look at verses 12 and 13, it says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend? We who had a sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the throng." I mean, there's a closeness that is there. Now listen to the very first part of the psalm beginning in verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God. And do not hide thyself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terror of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Verse 6 is really what the sermon is about, on the wings of a dove. David, like I said, is feeling overwhelmed with terror, with horror. And he says, I wish I had the wings of a dove. I'd fly away from this place. I would find a place of rest. And he's talking about rest for his soul. So let me ask you, have you ever wished that you could just fly away from it all and be at rest within yourself? Just because of the things that are going on in life. I think that, listen, even the strongest of us that from time to time get feeling that way, where we wish we could just get away from it all, fly away, just to find a place of peace, a place of rest within our souls. Even the strong of us find ourselves sometimes at the potential point in our lives where, you know, we feel as though we are crushed, that we're at the very breaking point of life. We are entering into the holiday season, and the holiday season supposedly is supposed to be what? The happiest month, or the happiest 2 months of the year. Now, for myself and my family, for the most part, that probably is true. They generally are very happy months, happy days. But not everyone feels that way. In fact, statistics say that probably the months of November and December sometimes can be the most lonely and the most grief-stricken months of the year. Some of it is sad because of the flood of past memories that they have, a loneliness. Sometimes it's because of financial pressure. Sometimes it's because of maybe just the natural things that happen, hurricanes and tornadoes and huge snowstorms. Sometimes there are mass shootings that no one expects us to be a part of. Losing loved ones, job loss, health concerns, relationship breakups, the list of heartaches and these traits and tribulations and trials all come along. And you would think that the heartache is new, but the heartaches of the world really aren't new. They might be new to you for the first time and feeling your way through it and how to navigate through this overwhelming feeling that I'm talking about when you're in the midst of a storm, when you're feeling overwhelmed. But the uniqueness of the severity of the storm can make a person want to fly away. The length of the trial sometimes, just the longevity of it, can sometimes make you want to fly away from it. A trial of a person that cannot see the resolution, they cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, can make you want to fly away. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter in verse 20, has an interesting verse there. It says, harvest is past, summer as is ended, and we are not saved. For agrarian society that, you know, banks all of its financial wealth around, you know, how the crops come in, and then them not to come in can be a disaster because back in that day, they probably didn't have lots of silos around. They didn't have lots of storage bins and things of that nature. They depended on the crops coming in, and so they said, you know, the harvest is past. The summer has ended, and we don't have sufficient enough to get us through the winter and so forth. Something like that can be a fairly terrifying scary kind of time in a person's life. So some people, I think, look at life like that and they say, you know, where do I go from here? How can I get by this? Is there a way forward? And they don't feel like there is a way forward from you. I'm going to share with you some depressing stuff here for just a moment, well, in a few moments. But I just want you to think about this. All of us at one time or another have wanted to fly away from a circumstance. All of us have wanted to fly away from a state of mind. All of us have wanted to fly away from some kind of turmoil, but what happens if you can't fly away? What happens if you're not able to get away around that? For instance, what if you're not able to get away from some things like inward grief or loneliness or loss? Usually, you can't fly away from loneliness because, well, sometimes you can be in a whole group of people, a lot of people, and still feel like you're all alone because of the circumstance you're going through. You can't fly away from work situations. You can't fly away from financial situations. You can't fly away from family situations. You can't fly away from illnesses and their situations. I remember there was a movie that was put out a number of years ago, Forrest Gump, and in Forrest Gump, there was a little girl by the name of Jenny. And Jenny was just a small girl, and she was abused sexually by her father, and she would run away when he'd come home, and she'd run out of the house and run out into a cornfield, and she would say these words, "Please, God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away. Please, God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away. Please, God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away." And God never made her a bird, and she never flew far, far away. In fact, Jenny, when she grew up into adulthood, was never able to fly away from her past. Not whether she was practicing sexual freedom or where she was taking advantage of the drug scene or life itself, she could never fly far enough away from that. Even if you could magically grow wings and fly, a dove's wings cannot fly you or cannot outfly slander. Dove's wings cannot outfly a lion tongue. Dove wings cannot outfly heartbreak. Just can't. So what happens when people get boxed in with no visible way of relief? Well, the psalm in his prayer he talks about not having the ability to escape. The psalmist clearly states that he doesn't have any such wings. So what do you do when life backs you into a corner? Where what some people do is they decide to use the wings of suicide. That's a hard subject to talk about when you think about it, to talk about suicide. Some people have said words like this, you know, suicide is one of the most selfish acts in the world. I think in some cases that might be true, but in a lot of cases, I don't think it's true. I think sometimes people can get so far into a tunnel where it gets so black that when you try to see out, you can't even see a peep of light at the end of the tunnel, and you see no way forward. You see no way backward. You see no way of being able to fly away from that thing. And it's even more so when you don't have God on your side. David, I think, was at that place, but David had something that all men need, and that is he had God. And so he may not have had wings to fly away, but he had a place of rest in mind. He wouldn't say, "I can't find rest." He says, "I just can't get there quickly." And so he had God that was on his side, and that's something that is such always a positive. I mean, everyone... And I could be wrong about this, but I think everyone at one point in their life has probably thought about it. Except we had some answer that maybe moved us off that brink. Did you know nearly 30,000 Americans commit suicide every year? 30,000. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds. Second, for 24 to 35-year-olds. The greatest divorce group of all those who commit suicide are those over the age of 63. The highest group, the most group. Men can commit suicide more often than women, but women think more often of it than men. On an average, one person commits suicide every 16.2 minutes. There is one suicide for every 25 attempts of suicide. All those statistics point to one very, very tragic reality. There are a lot of people in America who wish they had wings that they could fly away to a place of rest. There are people who are overwhelmed, but you don't have to be suicidal to wish that you could fly away. And that's what's going on with David. Let me share with you a couple of short observations. One is this: a change of location won't end many issues. For instance, you don't leave emotions in one state when you move into another. You don't leave your mind in one state when you move to another. You don't necessarily leave loneliness in one state when you move to another. In short, all those things oftentimes, for the most part, follow with you because your past has a way of catching up with you no matter where you go. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation, in John, the 16th chapter, in verse 33. In this world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. The peace I have is the peace that I give to you, was his promise. So often all we do is trade one problem for another. But in some cases, a change can help. Sometimes, you know, you have better results. Sometimes it resets your router. Sometimes you have better results. For instance, there was Jesus' hometown in Nazareth. Well, when he went there and proclaimed that he was the Messiah, and they recognized, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. He went to Samaria. He was more accepted in Samaria than he was in his own hometown. So a place or a change of venue was even helpful to the Lord. But here's an important thought. What happens if you can't make a physical change? If you can't change the world around you, then maybe you can change the world inside you. Listen to what David says here in Psalm 55. Listen to what he says, verse 6, but I want you to finish up by looking at 7 and 8. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away, and I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. So David is talking about, you know, making a move here. He's not saying that there is no place to go. He's simply saying, I can't get there fast. If I could go, you know, if I had the wings, I would fly away to a place of rest. Or I'd wander into a desert. Or I would go off to the refuge. And so when you think about that, well, where are the places that he is talking about? It's the same places that we sing songs about. If you stop and think for a moment, think about songs like Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We're talking about needing God there. Hide me, O thou great Jehovah. Or, Master, the tempest is raging. You know, songs like that. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. This man who wrote that song, Hiroshi Hornblower, you recall what happened to him. His children drowned in the crossing of a large ship, and when he got to that place, he wrote that song. It is well with my soul. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you where no one stands alone. And finally, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. You know, there are songs that talk about when we really, you know, when we're really down, and we sing those songs in order to strengthen ourselves, because we know sometimes we find ourselves in need of a place of refuge. We need a wilderness that we can go through for peace. We need a place to fly away to rest. Now, David isn't saying that he has no place of comfort or rest. He's simply saying, I can't get there in the moment. The place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. It may have been a physical location that he had in mind. Maybe it was the cave of Adullam that was out in the wilderness that I've showed you pictures of, or caves like Adullam. Or maybe it was the refuge, the mountain. I've showed you Masada. Some say that David oftentimes probably went up to Masada where he could find rest and refuge from those who were harrying him and chasing after him in life. Maybe for you it'd be a place that you have discovered where it's your alone place. It's your prayer place. It's your place to think things through. So if life is vexing you, a solution may be a place where you have found the quietness to rest before. But I think there's even a better place than a physical location. Maybe it's a place that is within our spirits. I love the class that Dave taught this morning as he talked about Acts 2 and verse 38. I love what Jesus said also in Matthew 28. You know, in Matthew 28 and verse 8, he says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now listen to this. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey whatsoever command you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So he's talking about us being baptized, and when we're being baptized, we're baptized into deity, into the divine family of the God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Couple that now with Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think Dave was right on when he said that the Holy Spirit that he's talking about is the Holy Spirit himself that promises to dwell within us. And he touched on Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14. It's interesting you brought that up, and I'd already, the sermon was written days ago. But, but over in Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14, there in that section of Scripture, there is a promise that is given to us. There it says, in him, that is in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance in view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Did you know we're in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 22, says we are sealed in him in the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter in verse 22, it says we are sealed, or verse 5, it says that we are sealed with him in the Holy Spirit. Then look at Romans, the eighth chapter, when we talk about what is it that the Holy Spirit does for us. Romans, the eighth chapter. Notice verse 26 and 27. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we have been given the Holy Spirit, and the promise is that he is going to be with us, and that he will intercede for us in moments when we feel so vexed, when we feel so overwhelmed, when we feel so at the end of our rope, when we feel so alone, when we feel so in the midst of tribulation and in the midst of trial. That promise is that he will be with us even in the midst of that, which gives power to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 6. Where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known unto all men. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So where does that peace come from? Well, that peace comes from the wings of a dove. The Holy Spirit is oftentimes likened into that of a dove. You remember at Jesus' baptism when he came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven who said, as the spirit of the devil came down from heaven and came down upon his head, and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The wings of a dove, a peace that passes all comprehension, all understanding. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit to help us in difficult times, that is sometimes there to pray for us when we don't know how to pray. And I don't know if you've ever been there or not. I don't know if you've ever been in this place that David talked about. This place when he says, my heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and the horror has overwhelmed me. Oh, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Well, you have something maybe far better than what David had, or maybe not. David has such faith in God that he would take care of what this friend was doing. He'd take care of those who were treacherous. And in the end, David would be okay. You don't think of David, do you? When you think of David, you think about this young lad that knocks out this 9-foot-2-inch giant, don't you? You think about this guy who seemed to have it all together, a man after God's heart. And David was anything but, he was a man after God's own heart, but he was anything but a person that just had it completely together. And you've read his life. You know, I mean, what do you suppose he was thinking after he got caught with his adulterous affair with Bathsheba? You think that he didn't want to go hide away somewhere? Do you don't think that he wanted to fly away? You know, but he knew where to go. He knew where to go for peace. Nathan, go to God and ask him for forgiveness. Tell him I need to be forgiven. And Nathan did that. He says, the message to you is, yeah, you will be forgiven, but the sword will never leave your house. You've started something, you'll have to live with it now. So, I don't know if you're catching what I'm saying here, but What Jesus is saying in John the 16th chapter is he says, I tell you the truth, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I know that's in the upper room. I know it's in the final discourse. I know that is spoken to his apostles. The miraculous part, I think, applies to them. But the Spirit himself, I think, applies to all of us. There's just too many passages of Scripture that teach that he lives with us and lives within us. and that he is able to intercede on our behalf when we can't. He becomes the wings of a dove for us that helps us go to a place of quiet rest and a place of peace. So, on the wings of a dove. You might be thinking, Richard, you have no idea how much I would like to fly away. Well, actually, I do. Actually, I do. There's times when I'd like to fly away. Even recently, there's been times that I'd like to fly away. But my trust is in God, and my trust is in the Lord, and he'll be with me on the wings of a dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above on the wings of a dove. The message is yours. Your response is yours as well. While together we stand and while we sing.